Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Wednesday, the 20th of August. Coming up, wildlife bosses hit out at vandals who are destroying vital habitats. Hear from the mum of an 11-year-old Kent boy who's waiting patiently for his GCSE results. And it was all 3 points for Gillingham in League Two last night. We've got reaction from a very happy manager. But first, a man who died after falling in the River Medway in Maidstone earlier this month has been named. Daniel Grosset was discovered a day after being spotted going into the water near Archbishop's Palace on August the 11th. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. And Lucy, Daniel had actually been on a previous episode of the Kent Online podcast.
That's right. We heard from the 37-year-old back in February 2023 when he spoke openly about his struggles with addiction. By the age of 15, he was committing robberies, and at 17, he tried crack cocaine for the first time. Within a year, he was homeless. Before his 21st birthday, Daniel was convicted of robbery, and for the next 12 years, he was in and out of prison more than 40 times. But he turned his life around and wrote a book in a bid to try and help others. This is what he said to us just over 2 years ago.
So in prison, I actually sometimes got to be the normal me. You know what I mean? I'd put weight on, I'd be more healthier, I'd be normal, I'd read, and then as soon as I'd come back out, it'd be straight. First day out, take drugs, and then whenever my money ran out, I'd be back to committing crime. Sometimes the day I come out of prison, I'd be shoplifting that same day. I was in HMP Rochester, and then I spoke to my mum a few weeks after coming in, and she sent me a little bit of money. She said that she had a sore throat, and her throat was a bit croaky. I tried ringing her for a few months afterwards, and she didn't answer. And then one day I rang, and luckily my little brother was with her, and he picked up the phone. And it was lucky that I phoned her that time, because literally 3 days later she had passed away. And if I didn't phone her, I would have never been able to say goodbye.
Do you believe that sort of it was that sort of moment that you decided to change your life around? Definitely.
It was definitely that moment, because now that my mum's passed away, realised that obviously I'm going to join her one day, you know what I mean? So I hope to have a positive impact on the world. While I'm here, we only get one life, we only get one chance, and this is it. Yeah, it was that moment that just made me realise that I need to make something of my life.
And plenty of tributes have been paid to Daniel, Lucy.
That's right. He volunteered at Hungry Hearts for the Homeless, and the boss there has described him as one in a million and an inspiration. He's told us how Daniel went through some really bad times, but was a lovely bloke. He'd known him for about 4 years and also praised the book he'd written and the efforts he made to support others. He added that Daniel had left behind a lot of broken hearts. Daniel's girlfriend, Daniela Flynn Johnson, has also paid tribute, saying their relationship was beautiful and she will love and miss him so much.
So finally, an inquest has been opened and adjourned. What was revealed at the hearing?
Well, Coroner Katrina Hepburn told the court that Daniel, who was from Rowan Place in Headcorn, had fallen into the water from a mooring, and witnesses had called 999. Police and paramedics were all sent to the scene and attempted to save him. The cause of death was given as drowning, and the inquest was adjourned until November the 18th.
Lucy, thank you ever so much, and our thoughts are very much with Daniel's friends and family.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man's gone on trial accused of leaving another man with life-changing brain injuries when he was knocked unconscious in Ramsgate. A court's been told the victim fell and hit his head on the pavement after being punched in November 2022. Buster Lakey, who's 28 and from Manston Road in Margate, denies causing grievous bodily harm with intent, and the trial continues. A police investigation's underway after three members of staff at a school for young offenders in Medway were allegedly assaulted. The workers, including one who suffered two large cuts to the head, needed hospital treatment on Sunday night. Bosses at Oasis Restore say the relevant authorities have been informed and they couldn't comment further. A cyclist has been flown to hospital after coming off their bike in West Maelstrom. It happened on Hosey Hill on Sunday, blocking the road in both directions. We're told their injuries aren't thought to be life-threatening. Now, next today, Kent Wildlife Trust bosses have told the Kent Online podcast how vital money that could be spent on conservation is having to be used to repair damage at some of their sites. A viewing screen at one has been destroyed by vandals, and not for the first time, while camping equipment at another has been dumped. Well, they're now considering increasing surveillance and say no one should be staying at a reserve overnight. I've been chatting to Steve Weeks, who's one of the charity's area managers.
We've had a bit of an upsurge in antisocial behaviour on our reserves. At Holborough Marshes near Snodland, we had one of our big wooden bird viewing screens has been trashed. This is for about the third time in a row. We've seen an upsurge in camping on our reserves, and sadly, because camping equipment seems so cheap these days, people just abandon it on the reserves after they've left. So we've had quite a large clear-up operation there. And there's the perennial problems associated with the dry weather. People having fires and barbecues on our reserves, which is really dangerous because the countryside is tinder dry at the moment, and we really want to avoid any wildfires on our sites. The continued issue with problems with people not clearing up dogs' mess after they visit the reserves, which is obviously unpleasant for visitors, but can also be dangerous for our livestock. And a new thing that seems to be becoming a more of a problem are the large metal nitrous oxide canisters, which keep getting dumped on our reserves. They cost us about £7.50 each to dispose of responsibly. Recently, we had to get rid of 120 of them, which cost the trust well over £900. So it's a real sort of catalogue of things going on out there on our reserves.
What do you think can be done other than us doing this chat now to try and raise awareness of what's happening to try and prevent it? What else can you guys do?
Well, we want people to come out and enjoy our reserves, enjoy the wonderful weather we're having. But when you come out to a site, please look at any signage that's there. That'll ask visitors to do certain things, maybe to avoid parts of the reserve that are very sensitive for wildlife, or to put dogs on leads if livestock are around, not to have barbecues and fires on our sites. So it's really just trying to be aware of what's going on. And if people do see problems with vandalism or, you know, off-road vehicles on our sites where they shouldn't be, then to please let the police know through 101 or ourselves here at Kent Wildlife Trust.
And tell us how important that money that you're using to clear up. I mean, what else could that be used for? What things would you like it to be funding rather than this?
That's right. Well, Kent Wildlife Trust is a charity, so we're conscious that every penny that's donated to us, we want to be using for conserving and improving wildlife across Kent, not having to spend it on clearing up rubbish and replacing damage, things like that. So any money would go towards, you know, maintaining 80-odd nature reserves across the county, for helping to equip our volunteers who do a wonderful job helping us maintain those nature reserves, providing them with tools and equipment and safety clothing.
And you can see pictures of the damage within the story on the website today. Meantime, vandals have smashed up deck chairs used by cafe customers at a former church in Sandwich. St Peter's is used as a community hub, and the damage was discovered by volunteers on Monday. They've described it as disheartening and say they won't be replaced as it could happen again.
Kent Online reports.
A court's heard how a man who crashed his car into a bush in Paddock Wood had been drinking to celebrate a national event in his home country of Armenia. The 43-year-old lost control of the vehicle and clipped a curb on Beltring Road in July. He's been given a fine and 12-month driving ban. Firefighters have been called to tackle a blaze at a former nursery in Gillingham. No one was hurt when it broke out on Marlborough Road yesterday afternoon. Developers are hoping to turn the old Urchins kindergarten site into a house of multiple occupation. Almost three quarters of people who took part in a survey have supported the idea of having a town council in Tunbridge. More than 3,000 residents responded, with 72% in favour. Another review could be carried out in the autumn, with a final decision made next February. Now, Kent Gladiators star Matt Morsia says he's torn a bicep tendon while filming for the show. The 39-year-old from Hythe, who's known as Legend, got ill after surgery. He's been giving fans an update in a video on his YouTube channel, Matt Does Fitness.
I developed this, like, intense nausea and vomiting like 24 hours a day, right? Everything I would eat, I would throw up. And I'm talking like Team America style projectile vomiting. And it wouldn't stop. It just stayed 24 hours a day. And it got so bad that I was admitted to hospital and stayed there for almost 2 weeks. At this point, I want to say a big thank you to Sheffield General Hospital. They were awesome. They looked after me. The nurses were really good. I don't want to go into any more detail, but those couple of weeks were like easily the worst 2 weeks of my entire life, like by a million miles. Like the sickness and the nausea just wouldn't go away. It was just constant all day, all night. I couldn't eat food. And when I say I couldn't eat food, I literally didn't eat for 12 days. Like, I'm not exaggerating. I didn't put a single bit of food in my mouth for 12 days. I couldn't stand up because I was so weak. In the end, I lost 15 kilograms in body weight, which is like 33 pounds, or I think it's like 2.5 stone. My weight went from 97 kilograms down to, at its lowest, 82 kilograms.
He's now at home as he continues to recover and told fans he'll be back in no time.
Kent Online reports.
A school in Kent for children with special educational needs is set to close after plans to merge it with an academy trust were thrown out. Bradstow School in Broadstairs has been running since 1990 and is maintained by Wandsworth Council. A consultation on its proposed closure will now move to the next stage and is set to get underway next month. The boss of a taxi firm on Sheppey claims he's losing £1,000 a week because of roadworks. 2,000 metres of gas main and hundreds of supply pipes are being replaced on Minster Road, with work due to continue for another 2 months. While iCars manager Neil McLennan says drivers are having to make detours, which is making journeys longer, so they can't take on as many jobs. SGN have been contacted for a comment. Now, an 11-year-old boy from Swanley who took his GCSE maths exam very early is among those waiting for those all-important results tomorrow. Brian Idogan, who's in Year 7 at Orchards Academy, sat the test along with thousands of teenagers earlier this year. His mum, Joy Lawson, says he's not the only talented youngster in the family.
His elder brother took the maths GCSE when he was in Year 6 and he had a 7, which is a distinction.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And that was the motivation for Brian. If his brother can do it, he said he can also do it. Even though we have observed that they are very good in maths and we do teach them at home. I'm a teacher teaching in one of the schools in Kent. Mm-hmm. My husband is a chartered accountant. So we coach them at home, we challenge them, give them work to do. And that was how we realized their mathematical skills.
Yeah.
And when Brian said he was going to also take the maths GCSE, we registered him in a private center so he could take the exam. He prepared for the exam and he went in and sat for the exam. And after the exam, he said to us that he's very sure that he's going to make a distinction. So we are awaiting Brian's result, and we're Amazing. Hoping that he gets his desired distinction.
And so when did Brian start training or being tutored? When did he decide that he was going to go in for the exam early?
So he decided he was going to go for the exam few months before the maths GCSE, even though he had already started practicing with the textbooks before that time. But about 4 months to the GCSE, he said to us that he was he was very sure that he had covered a lot from the maths textbook and he was going to sit the exam. So we started coaching him through past questions, practicing questions with him until the day he wrote the exam.
How does it feel, obviously, to be a mum to not one bright student, but two, it seems?
I feel really proud of them, and I do not expect any less from them.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the effort that we also put in as parents, I do not expect any less from them. So it's not just the two of them, but their other sibling too is towing that line, very good in maths, and then we're hoping that he keeps it up so that he can also make this achievement.
And we'll be hearing from teenagers in Kent as they collect their exam results in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. We wish you all the very best.
Kent Online News.
A futuristic home is set to be built on stilts in Ivychurch, despite fears it'll stick out like a sore thumb, apparently. Folkestone and Hythe District Council have approved the plans, though some say it'll look out of place in the famously flat Romney Marsh. Planning officers say the proposal won't infringe on anyone's privacy and could serve as an excellent opportunity to regenerate the site. Meantime, plans to build homes on the edge of a popular park in Broadstairs have come in for criticism. The council wants to develop a disused gardener's depot in Pierremont Park into four properties, but people living nearby fear it'll spoil the character of the local area. A decision on it will be made at a meeting tonight. And the new owners of a bar on the Thanet seafront say they're determined to give it a fresh start. The venue in Albert Terrace used to be known as Sundown, but is being relaunched as Margate Beach Club. Its reputation was tarnished after former boss Duncan Bales was convicted of historic child sex offences while working as a carer. He stepped down from his position at the bar in 2023 after being charged. When new licensee Neville Cavendish says it's a whole new era with no ties to past operators. And a Kent Zoo is celebrating its 10th anniversary with a promise to protect more rare and endangered animals. Hemsley Conservation Centre near Seven Oaks was set up in 2015 by Adam Hemsley when he was just 22. It's currently home to more than 40 species, with many part of a breeding programme. And they've already had success with porcupines, the world's smallest wildcat, and armadillos. Well, our reporter Joe Crosley has been chatting to Adam.
I've been quite lucky, actually. I've worked with animals all my working life, mainly in zoos. And then, 10 years ago, I left my previous zoo that I was working at. And it was, sort of a now or never moment. We went for it, and here we are 10 years later.
I've got to ask, what was the hardest thing to get this place up and running 10 years ago?
Firstly, finding somewhere that we could do it. I originally sent out letters to places that I thought might be a good site. And I think probably for those people, having a letter land through their letterbox with the 22-year-old that says, hey, I want to open a zoo. They probably thought I was joking, and I only got one reply, which was where we are now.
Brilliant. And how has it developed over 10 years, this place?
So in the beginning, we were really, really small for anyone that came between 2015 and 2019. We were super small. And we've just been able to, there's been different areas that have become available throughout that time period that we've been lucky enough to sort of take over. And we've just gradually and slowly expanded within our means and sort of capacity.
Mm. And tell me some of the success stories that you've had, because the main goal is to breed endangered animals and rare animals, right?
Yep. So we focus on lots of lesser known species that some of the larger collections would sort of overlook. Or may not sort of push forward. So we've got quite a few that I would say that we've done really well with that we're quite proud of. Our prehensile-tailed porcupines, we started with two, and we've lost and bought in a few over the years, but we're now at six, and our offspring are now producing their own offspring, and we're now in a position where we can send them to other collections that want them. Our rusty spotted cats as well, we've sent all around the world, America, UAE, Germany, and we've bred about 15 of those now. Three banded armadillos, black-tailed marmosets.
Next 10 years, what's your plans? Have you got anything coming forward that you want to talk about? Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Still here. just continue doing what we've done. We've got a few things lined up in the next couple of years for animals and species that we've already got here. One of our big ones is going to be building a new spider monkey facility. We're going to make that a mixed species enclosure, hopefully. As for past that, keep doing what we're doing at the moment. We've done a lot in the last few years, so I think we're probably due a little break.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham have continued their unbeaten start to the League Two season with a cracking 4-1 win over Chesterfield. Armani Little scored two penalties and there were goals from Lenny Serino and Marcus Wiley at Priestfield last night. Well, Gill's manager Gareth Ainsworth spoke to the club's media team following the game.
What is your main emotion following that performance?
Total pride. And a real enjoyment of what I'm seeing, how I'm seeing this team develop. And not this team, this squad. I'm seeing the squad develop is fabulous, you know, showing me things that I didn't question. I thought, have they got this? And they're showing me they have, you know. The depths that some of those boys went to today to get that result is phenomenal, honestly. And there's some unsung heroes. There's some sung heroes. It was a really, really nice performance against a really strong Chesterfield side who are going to be there and thereabouts at the end of the season, without a shadow of a doubt. They're a quality side, so that makes it an even better win. And I think we were solid. It wasn't lucky. It wasn't anything but a quality home performance. And I was really, really proud of that.
2-1, you'd have been forgiven for thinking of being on the back foot and Chesterfield in the ascendancy, yeah. But actually it was turned the other way around. How pleased were you with that response?
You've nailed it. Phil, obviously, you know your football, because at 2-1, teams capitulate. You know, teams think, oh, wow, this is Chesterfield, the top of the league, and they've scored one. They capitulate and they can... But to show, don't want to swear, the resilience and the strength to come back, there's other words you can use there, they showed those properly. And they really went, you know what, we're not accepting this. We're not accepting you're going to take control of the game. We're going to come back and we're going to take control again. And some magic moments tonight, which is really nice. Some magical moments. But as a squad, the players deserve all the credit. They have run for me tonight. They have run for each other. They've run for this football club and those fans. And the work rate they're showing, they're all good footballers. They've got ability. That work rate and that commitment and that togetherness. I'm really hoping the fans are seeing that now and feeling it. It's like I say, it's a feeling. It's not just a vision. It's a feeling that you feel around the place. Listen, it's a journey, and I keep saying it. It's not going to go perfect all the time, but it went well tonight, and I'm really pleased. Some real magic moments.
The result means the Gills are now up to sixth in the League Two table. On to cricket, and it was disappointment for Kent in the One Day Cup as they lost to Middlesex. Corey Flintoff, who's the 19-year-old son of former England star Freddie, made his Spitfires debut in yesterday's match. Middlesex beat their victory target of 280 with 30 balls to spare. Kent are bottom at the table after losing 4 out of 5 games so far in the competition. And finally, in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu has been knocked out of the mixed doubles at the US Open. She teamed up with Carlos Alcaraz, but they lost in straight sets to fellow Brit Jack Draper and his partner Jessica Pegula. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.